All right, this is Roberto. You are back with the Steambox Podcast. Steambox Podcast this week is, for the second week in a row, number two in the world in education. We were number one earlier in the month. We are number two. We're holding steady in those top spots. And that is thanks to all the good work that's happening with this Highlander Charter School crew. Highlander Charter School, if y'all can please unmute your microphones and say what's up to the world, give them a lot of energy. Go.
What's up?
Good night.
Yo, did she say good night? What is happening? I'm sorry, Billy's going to be late today, so we don't have Billy to jump in here all late and be like, hi, at the end, but that's the thing. Our guest today is Mr. Harry Grigsby, a.k.a. John Hope. Harry, what's up?
Man, what's going on? What's up, everyone? I'm glad to be here, man. Thank you for having me. And yeah, man, it's been a blessing, man. Been a blessing. I just started kicking off my album rollout, you know what I mean?
And March 3rd?
March 3rd, hope all is well, yeah.
Okay. Okay, for the sake of this conversation, do you want us to refer to you by your government? Or by John Hope?
You know, John Hope, you know, this is what it is. You know what I mean?
Branding. We are branding today.
Yeah.
We just talked offline about how we have a mutual startup. We both started up at the College Crusade and then bounced around and kept contributing to the world of education here in Providence. Thank you. Congratulations. Your services are noted and appreciated. That's super dope. I want to point out early on before I kick it over to the students that first of all, Plaids and Polka Dots is ridiculously dope. Off of your
$9.30,
yeah. Like, I don't even know how dope my homies are, how dope people in my circle, in my immediate vicinity are. Right. Yeah. Like that was super, like that can go into my playlist today. You know what I'm saying?
That
was dope. And if y'all don't know, y'all should check it out. But I also want to point out, we're talking about how we came up, right? Like started with the College Crusade, working in education. You were recently interviewed by the Boston Globe. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
You had a quote that I really appreciated because there's a racist concept that I hate called picking yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah.
So students, if y'all don't know, what a lot of people would like to tell you, people with money would be like, oh, it's nice to see somebody pick themselves up by the bootstraps. In other words, they mean come from nothing. But everybody's come from nothing is not the same. And that's why I find that conversation like not to have a level of equity to it. And he said specifically in this article, not talking about your bootstraps, but give yourselves permission to be great. So I thought that was a really dope note. I thought that was a dope message. It sounds like your message is obviously hope going into your March 3rd release date. I just want to once again say thank you. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, my specific branding, if you will, or just concept of hope is not really romanticized. You know, I think when we talk about hope, when we talk about love, those things are very romanticized and sort of like Disney-esque, you know, they put some sauce on it. I'm really saying that, you know, hope is a mindset, and you have to, you can have all the tools, resources, the different people that are going to support you, but you have to have a mindset which acknowledges that in which you come from or the circumstances that you're in. It's not sort of this blind positivity where you're just kind of like, well, I'm going to make it and this, that, and the third. I believe that you do have to acknowledge what's in front of you and be able to be strategic about it and whatnot. But you know, so it's more of a very realistic and pragmatic approach towards hope, you know, not some, you know, after school special type, you know what I'm saying?
And hope is also very Rhode Island centric. You are repping your hood hard. You called it a diamond in the rough between Providence and New York. What track was that on?
In New York.
Well, that was on one of your tracks, right?
Yeah, Camp Street and Comstock. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, Camp Street, like you straight representing your hood for the whole world.
Yeah.
Yo, man, obviously we appreciate that. I have just only 1,000 more questions, but I don't think that will be fair. So I want to turn it over to the youth. I'm starting with my homie Jada. Jada is an aspiring rapper in the future. She's also a hardcore skateboarder. Jada, what's up?
Jada, what up?
Good night. Okay. So my question is, what is a defining moment in your life and how does it impact your career?
a defining moment in my life where I just had a daughter. She just turned two. So that's a defining moment, man. You know, becoming a father, things are just much more clearer and purposeful, you know, in all aspects of my life. But particularly with my music, musically, my approach towards everything that I do, this interview, my writing, it's about legacy. I want to leave a footprint for my daughter to be able to, you know, when she's old enough to see, you know, oh, this is the type of time my dad was on, you know, and really have some sort of understanding about life, you know. So I'm just very cognitive now about each appearance, each song that I write and whatnot. And that's all because of my daughter, and her name is Hope.
Yo, congratulations. Hope is now 2 years old.
Yeah.
Her whole world has been pandemic, man. It's right? Weird. It's ironic that her name is Hope when she's only seen the apocalypse. Like, for real, she's birthed just before the apocalypse.
Right.
And Hope is going to get to see a post-apocalyptic world.
She will.
Congratulations on fatherhood, man.
Thank you.
Cam, you are up.
Cam, what up?
What's up? All right, my question is, has there ever been a moment when you're making music and you're like, I can't do this? Like, you're doubting yourself because it wasn't working?
Yo, good question, Cam.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a healthy emotion. I had signed in 2011, I had signed a production deal and I was working at CCRI and I left to move to Atlanta. In Atlanta, I'm recording, I'm meeting J. Cole, Drake, Big Sean, all these things, right? And that's what I call the false positive, because the situation didn't pan out. And so I actually quit for 3 years. I quit for 3 years. I went and got my master's, went back. I just didn't think that I would return back to music. But you know, it's a gift that I have. And so in 2015, I came back out. I put out a project called A Guy Named Harry. But yeah, even till this day, there are times where you have, you know, you question whether or not what you're doing is on track. But I think ultimately, you know, I have this thing called THS, and it's like really being committed to yourself, you know, like because it's an isolating journey. But if you know that you got something dope to offer, that's all it takes. You know what I mean? Like to be persistent, you know, that's going to outweigh those thoughts.
That's that Hope shit.
Yeah,
that's that
yes, baby.
let me spin it before I go to Matthias. Let me spin it real quick. You were talking about maybe even being intimidated by being in the room with some of these people. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so those are my words. But you've been in a room with probably some of your favorites. Who has exceeded your expectations, man? Have any of them really helped you out in a big way? Which one of them was doper than you thought?
I would say there's an artist that's that works with good music, with Kanye West. His name is Saha the Prince. Saha the Prince is supremely talented. He's a writer for Kanye. We were in the studio a lot, and like seeing him work and just words of encouragement. I met him around the time when Watch the Throne was coming out. So he had just came home from Paris, and he was talking about the album that he contributed to. And so it was good. I think for me, being in the room is the inspiration for me. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I must be doing something right. You know what I mean? So yeah, I would say Saha the Prince. And then I remember I watched Soul Train with J. Cole. J. Cole was working in the A room, and him and his team, the person I was managed, she ran the studio. Her name was Molly. She cooked soul food for everybody. And just having those conversations and how humble he was. You know, what you see with J. Cole is very, very real. You know, that's no cap. There's no, you know, it was dope. So that was encouraging.
That's good to hear, man, especially about J. Cole, because J. Cole is one of my low-key favorites.
Yeah.
You're going to get jumped, by the way, by this group if, like, at some point, like, you don't show love to Drake. I did not show love to Drake, and I got my ass kicked by this.
Word. I'll mess with Drake. I'll mess with Drizzy. I'll mess with Drizzy, yeah.
Also, before, and again, Matthias, thank you for waiting. I think this is a good point. Like, while we're talking about ass kickings, I think the legend of John Hope started to grow probably way back in sixth grade when somebody threw dirt in Harry's face. Oh, no, somebody threw dirt somewhere. And then Harry was accused of throwing dirt. And then Harry was like, yo, young sixth grade Harry is like, I didn't throw no dirt. A fight ensues. And then Harry apparently like does a sixth grade version of an ass beating, but like it's over, but the kid don't stop fighting. That according to the legend, the kid don't stop fighting, even though he's just getting his ass beat. And apparently Harry showed mercy. Apparently Harry showed mercy on this young sixth grade kid. How much of this legend is true?
Man, I don't know, bro. Where are we going with this?
I'm just saying you got snitches out in the hood. You got Chaz Brooks out here being like, let me tell you about Harry. Let me tell you about Harry in the sixth grade. Somebody accused Harry throwing dirt, and Harry,
dirt.
And
oh
Harry let him have it. And
that don't sound like me, man. They must have got the wrong person, man.
There's other names involved, but I don't want to get sued. So.
Oh, for real? tell that person I apologize, man.
Matthias, this is not like some shit like I was talking about the legend of John Hope through Harry, right? So that was Matthias. Thank you for pointing out that I'm using his government name.
Matthias, shout out Matthias, man. Shout out, you holding me down.
Matthias, you're up.
I bet. Awesome. My question for you is, who gave you hope growing up as a kid?
Man, who gave me hope? That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that. I would say it was a number of people, man, you know, but I would say predominantly my mother, you know. My mother, she, you know, just you know, I'm from Sierra Leone in Liberia, and my mom, she came from Sierra Leone to this country, you know, with really nothing, you know, and just the way that she was able to sort of, you know, navigate and whatnot, and watch her as a single mom, you know, I would say she's the one that gave me hope. But, you know, then there were other people, because I had such a colorful life. I lived in foster care for a little bit. I had like five different moms, you know, different, my dad wasn't around. So I had like, you know, there were people in my life that, you know, that really showed me different things. And so that, you know, those circumstances provided me hope. But, you know, number one is my mother.
Yo, that's dope. I like how Matthias is relating too, because his mom is apparently from Sierra Leone.
Oh, for real? Oh, that's what's up. Oh, Freetown. Okay. My mom from Freetown. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, but it's the same thing. It's picking yourself up by the bootstraps, right? Like Donald Trump talked about, he only had $1 million loan from his dad and he had to pick himself up. This is a real thing that he said, from his bootstraps. It's the same thing as coming from Sierra Leone. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
You're picking yourself up by the bootstraps. You're giving the world hope, man. I appreciate that. Yanhel, you up next.
What do you feel about Bobby Shmurda getting released from prison?
Man, I'm happy. I'm happy that he's home, and I hope that, you know, he doesn't go back. You know, obviously, you know, if you're asking, obviously, you know the situation. You know, he stood tall for his man, you know, stayed in for a little bit for Roddy Rebel. So, but, you know, I hope that he can make the transition, you know what I mean? And really fully leave that life, so he doesn't put himself in a position to go back. But I am happy to see him home, you know?
I got another question too. Do you think he will find his hat?
I'm sorry?
Do you think he will find his hat?
Find his hat?
Hat. Apparently, I don't know. I do not understand this reference. Please explain it to me.
I don't know. We'll see if we find his hat. So, I don't know if you wanna explain, or you know.
In the music video, he throws his hat.
He throws his hat up in the sky. You know what I'm saying? It's like a legendary moment, man. You know, on that record. In the video, he throws his hat in the sky and he starts dancing. You know what I mean?
Yo, will he find his hat? We need to know.
Can I say something real quick?
Who's that?
Cameron.
Cam, yes.
Cam, what up?
It's crazy. Because like, if you really think about it, Bobby Shmurda came back basically to a new world. There's all these rappers that are out now. Like, they blew up. People like Lil Uzi Vert and stuff, they weren't as big as when he was around.
Yeah.
Now he's coming out basically to a whole new genre and a whole new a group of people.
Yeah, it's definitely different, man, you know, but hopefully, you know, he could transition and adapt. You know, he's not that old, you know. I think his energy is needed, you know.
And he's coming out in an apocalypse too, right? Yeah. Like the whole game is different. You can't tour right now like you normally would. No. Some people are, but not in normal ways.
Right.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Who did I say was next? I think we're on Sabdiel. Sabdiel is flexing hard right now, looking like Huey Newton, right? Of Black Panther fame.
Yeah, Sabdiel, what's up, man?
What's going on? I want to ask you first. How's it going, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Life is good. I'm going to LA tomorrow, so I'm really excited about that. You know, so I got.
Oh, you gotta be careful.
Yo, Sabdiel, hang on a second, right? Let's qualify that as a question, and now I'll still give you another question as well because I realized that you had what you thought was a more meaningful question. But I think there's a story here about one. How are you doing, and how are you feeling with an album release next week, right? And two, going to LA tomorrow. I'm hearing big things, right? Like you're going out to work for P. Diddy Combs and do some work. So before, like, you just opened a can of worms, Sabio. Can you tell me, one, how you're feeling about the album release, and two, how you're feeling about LA and what you're doing?
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. So back in July, I had signed a contract, if you will. Let's say I'm an independent contractor working with Diddy and his Revolt TV channel. And so I worked on a Black Lives Matter campaign. I worked on a political campaign. As a result of that, I struck a really good relationship. So I'm going out there to pitch a program of mine, an idea of mine. So I'm gonna shoot the pilot. And so I'm really excited about it, man. You know, obviously taking all the necessary precautions because we are still in a pandemic, but I'm really excited to get out there and connect. I'm doing a little media as well in support of my album. So a little West Coast media run and come right back home and March 3rd, hope all is well.
Yo, that's dope. Sabdiel's going into this question. Yeah,
I want to have an interesting question for him. Yo, you're talking about Sauce. I'm wondering over here. You said people can get lost in the sauce when they're talking about Hope, bro. I'm being serious when I'm talking about this. You think people who dip their pineapple in marinara sauce have hope, or do you think they're actually lost in the sauce? Because I worry for them. I pray for them. You know, I feel like can you get lost in the sauce? Is my question.
Hey, bro. I mean, listen. I don't personally put pineapple on, you know, dip pineapple in marinara sauce. So I don't know if they have hope. I don't know. Someone else can answer that question.
Have you messed with pineapple on pizza? Have you had like a Hawaiian?
Nah, I'm not messing with that. Man,
he's with you, Sabdiel. He's with you. I've had pineapple on cheeseburgers, man. And it's ridiculous.
Really?
It's ridiculous. I'm enjoying it. I'm saying there's hope. But Mr. Hope himself is pessimistic.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's all good. I think we on Isaiah. We talked offline a moment ago, and you had recognized one of our students, Isaiah. Tell me more.
Yeah, man. I heard the record Extra, man. Just the flow, the chords. I don't know who produced it, but the beat goes hard. But the way he floated on that, you know what I mean? Like, I really appreciated that. And I feel like that type of style sometimes gets dismissed for the bars, but like my man Zay put the bars in there, like there's the melody, but like there was flow. The way he flipped Extra, I was jacking it, man. So you know, salute, man.
Thank you.
Someone said they you're a ghostwriter, Yon Jeff. Oh man, but nah, it goes hard, man, for real.
Thank you.
That's super dope. This has been another Isaiah podcast. Thank you everybody for listening to the Isaiah podcast from the studio of Isaiah. Isaiah, what's your question?
What's something that like you always stuck by pursuing a career like in music? Like what's like a mindset you always had to like, you know, have?
You know, man, it's gonna sound so cliche. All right, I'll do this. I would say a disciple of Nipsey Hussle, right? So Nip, He has this saying where he says, whether you're down five or up five, as long as you stay in the game, right? Like, so in other words, just don't quit. I wish there was like some extra, like real elaborate answer to it. But I think for me, it's just, I didn't quit. You know, there are a lot of artists when I first started out, you know, and Chachi can attest to this, man, you know, that, you know, they start out and for whatever reason, you know, they decide to go another direction or they just quit. Because I think a lot of times people come into this with the goal of making money, you know, mm-hmm. initially. For me, yeah. I'm passionate about it. Like I breathe hip hop. I love hip hop. You know, I'm from the school of like EPMD, Rakim, you know, Snoop, Cube. Like I before the internet, we used to get the CDs and look at who's produced it, the credits on the back, like ripping that plastic off. Like I'm from that, you know? So I still have that same passion for Young Thug, for Meek Mill, for, you know, CJ, for NBA Youngboy. Like, I'm not like an elitist. I'm not a hip hop elitist. Like, I can appreciate Isaiah's record as much as I can appreciate Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying? So like my passion runs deep. So that helped me fuel all the times when I was broke doing this. And now, just now, man, I'm starting to see the fruits of my labor.
Dope, man. What a feeling that must be. What a feeling that must be. Isaiah, how do you feel about other people recognizing the fruits of your labor?
It's a blessing, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I do it for, you know? It's not like, you know, I'm doing it for like, you know, attention or anything. It's something I always, you know, did, you know, as a kid, you know, I was singing in a choir, you know what I'm saying? So music always, you know, been a part of me. So when people recognize that, you know, I'm actually talented at what I do, it's like, you know, it's a blessing, really.
Mr. John Hope was giving a shout out to whoever's making your beats. Who's making your beats?
To be honest, the beats are either like emailed to me or I like find them on YouTube.
Okay, that's what's up. Nah, that's dope, man. And yo, someone told me this, man, and I always stuck by it. It says, the best song is the one you haven't written yet. So just know that, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get better. You're going to evolve as a songwriter. Like, just know that, man, your best song is the one you haven't written yet, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's that Hope shit. That's also that Tom Brady shit. What's your favorite Super Bowl ring? That's your next one. It's my next one. Yo, who we got? We got, is it Cameron or Cal? Who's up next? Go for it.
After you got your master's, like, what made you go back to music? What was, like, the music, like, hip-hop and stuff was actually for me?
Man, because, again, that passion, man. I knew that, yeah, I got my master's and, you know, I was an adjunct professor and stuff like that. Like, but funny enough, in that moment, I realized, like, I didn't really like the way education was, especially for young Black and brown people and for youth. So I was like, yo, this ain't like I can impact in a much different way. And so I went into this world. I went into this world of hip hop educators. You know what I'm saying? And if you look up the hashtag hip hop ed, like there was this world of people just like me who were like artists or who had like a hip hop sensibility and a sort of approach, just like you, Roberto, you know, towards education. And I had a connection to that. And so once that happened, I was like, yo, I can do hip hop and participate in this culture and be an educator at the same time. Cause before I used to compartmentalize, you know what I'm saying? Like thinking that my, you know, this culture couldn't be in this world. And then after I was like, yo, bump that. Like, you know, this is what I'm doing, because I would have students come in my office and they'd be like, yo, are you Hope? And I remember first time I'd have to lie, be like, nah, that's my twin brother, because I didn't think that I could do both, but now I can. And you know, it's like once
that's my twin brother. You told somebody that? You said this to
somebody? I told him that was my twin brother, man, because I didn't think that, you know what I'm saying? Ain't that crazy? Crazy, man.
Yo, man, I want you to know, and I'm announcing it now for probably the first time to the world. I've said this in secret before. Oh. I've been assembling. I had an advisory, you know how organizations like mine have their board, right?
Sure.
I had an advisory committee, right, mm-hmm. of like really dope people in the community advising Steambox. But it was a lot. It was like too many chefs in one kitchen. Yep. I shut it down. But since then, I have been assembling my secret, like, my secret Justice League for Steambox, right? And it's people who the students can really look up to and see success in. So I'm talking about the people that we mentioned before, some of the rappers that we mentioned, Samus out of Philly, Mega Ran out of Arizona, and Vita Ayala, who's writing for Marvel Comics. Yep. Like, we got a dope crew. Here's what I'm saying to you, Mr. John Hope. What's you up? About to take off like a rocket. And when you want to come back down to earth and contribute in education, Steambox is your partner. We are here.
Come on, man. That's a given.
We ready to go. If you want students to have an inside look or create media pieces around all of this work that you about to do, we are here. Hit me up. I've got students right here like Jada and like Isaiah ready to go and thirsty to learn more.
Wow.
Real quick. Where did I want to go with this? Before I wanted to go into another question. I'm missing Billy right now. I'm missing one of my students who had a really good question too. We're about to ask you in a second. So I just wanted to give you a warning. We're going to go through two more questions, but I wanted to ask you in a second. I'm going to ask you for shout outs, where we could find you, where people sure. should, like where you want to direct traffic. Sure. But also Chachi laid down the gauntlet. Earlier on this podcast, and Chachi was like, "Yo, you got a rapper on, they got a spit for you." That's what Chachi said. I didn't feel comfortable making people do nothing, but I'm saying that's what Chachi said. Chachi said they got to lay down some bars. I don't want you to be intimidated, but before you logged on, Jada and I were having a rap battle, and Jada said I was the best she ever heard. I don't want you to feel intimidated. So just be ready for that. I'm coming to that in just a minute. But first up, I got my homie Elijah. Elijah, hit me up.
This is a very original question that I've definitely never asked anyone else before.
Okay.
If you were to, say, write a book, what would the topic be?
Man, that's funny. So I would say the topic would be... what type of mindset that you need to reach your goals within as an independent artist. I think a lot of times, I get a lot of like DMs from younger artists, and they're like, yo, how can I get on, or how can I do this, or whatever, you know, what do I need to do? I think, We only have the it's either like you're Jay-Z or you're nothing, like I want to show that you can make a living as an independent artist, and you don't have to be a struggle artist or anything like that. So it would be like to show what the formula is, or what I would think is the formula to be a successful independent artist and to make a living, to be comfortable and whatnot, if that's the goal, you know what I mean? So it would be like a self-help book, but more about the mindset, because a lot of times we just look at, you know, you're either gonna be a multimillionaire or nothing. And like there are so many dope artists that are doing their thing as independent artists, and there's ways for hip hop or any type of artistry to be viable. I can't hear. I think someone's thing is muted.
Nope, I am still muted. I wanted to say super dope. Thank you for getting into that. I want to get to Argelis. Argelis, you got a question, and go.
All right. Is there any song lyrics that speak the most to you, that speak a lot to you?
I like this question. I like this.
Yeah. Man. Yo, my I have a record that I just put out called THS. And I think, you know, I wrote from a personal place, but I was in a relationship with someone who didn't really value my artistry or didn't value my dreams and my pursuits, you know? So I say, and it's like the first few bars, I say shorty left me because she thought it was finished. She said I'm demented, I had to leave because my soul ain't replenished. Feel the words from the scars every time that you said it. These are pipe dreams, don't rap, brother, just dead it. That hope shit, you know, and then so throughout the song, it's a chant. So I talk about, you know, that couplet there really speaks to, you know, how I had to persist, even though I was like in close proximity to somebody who didn't value what I was doing. That's tough, man, you know?
That's dope. And I feel like that sounds similar to like, you took that Black Rob, that yeah. Whoa, right? And just like Isaiah was talking about, right? Like rapping over beats, you took that whoa and you turned that into what?
Yeah.
Hope. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Hope. You know what I mean? That was dope. Were you ever a Rakim guy? Is Rakim before your time?
Yeah, I mean, I was around. I opened up for him too, man. That was the problem.
Wait. You did what? You did what? Hold up. We're talking about the hip hop god. We are talking about the god of hip hop. You opened up for the god of hip hop.
I opened up for him and at Lupo's, man. And I met his manager. And when he said my name, he was like, yo, John Hope. And I was like, what? Like, it was crazy. But yeah, I'm from, I was a big Rakim fan, you know what I mean? Like I was, you know, don't sweat the technique, let the rhythm hit him, you know, that around that era, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't up paid in full, although I do remember it, but I wasn't like, I came in towards the end. And then when he came back with the R, I mean, the 18th letter and all that, you know what I mean? It's been a long time.
Yo, this makes you a deity. If you opening up for the God and the God is giving you, shining that light on you, you are now a deity. I'm just saying you half immortal. Rakim, I just wanted to answer that. I know nobody's asking me this question. It's not like you're the guest and the students are the star of the show, but I just want to jump in. And I'm happy that we made that connection to Rakim because that blows my mind, right? But Rakim would have been my answer because I founded this organization that the students are asking you questions from right now, Steambox. I founded it on Rakim lyrics. I was at a previous organization working for white people who were exploiting the black and brown children that we're working with, right? They I don't want to get into specific examples. I don't want to get sued. But they pissed me off real good one time. And I remembered Rakim's lyrics in my head saying, cool. Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull the plug, and then jet.
That's it.
Steambox was founded on Rakim lyrics. I want to do a podcast with the students. I know we don't have time right now, but just asking y'all like what lyrics really spoke to you and moved you. Sabdiel and Yanhel have follow-up questions. And then we're gonna get into shout out. Sabdiel.
Well, it's not really a follow-up question. It's more of a, you know, another question I have for him. So, John Hope, so you worked in adult education, is that right? Yeah. My question is, in modern times, we have modern problems in education. If you were to educate people anymore, what certain topics would you pick to educate adults on?
To educate adults?
Yeah, like, there's definitely some examples that can put, like, very, very specific examples, but I don't think it's appropriate for the podcast.
Are we talking, like a college class, or are we talking, like a community
center? Well, he said adult education, so I'm thinking, like, 18 plus.
Yeah, I don't think adult education is, like, adult film, though, right? Like,
No.
It definitely that I, but you know, one of the things that I believe, so there's something that's happening amongst youth, and I talked about this in the Boston Globe, like about this parallel or this relationship between sophistication and the education we're taught, right? Like I feel like now more than ever, youth and adults. Black and brown adults are realizing that their lived experience is just as valuable as, you know, having a degree or these, you know, initials after your name and things of that nature. Like, you know, and so I would want to impart to adults that their lived experience. And when I talk about adults, I'm talking about people who are returning to school because they stopped or whatever. there's value in their lived experience. There's value there because a lot of times they dismiss, even when you have like, you know, people from foreign countries that are doctors, right? That are like these very prestigious people, they come to America and they just totally disconnect from that world, thinking that there's no value there. And so, and that's because a lot of times we're conditioned to believe so. So for me, it's about just, you know, letting them know that their lived experiences is valuable, and there's ways to make sure that that's taken into consideration when they're returning to school. You know, they could turn that valuable experience into credits, you know.
Thank you for the question. Thank you for the answer. Yanhel, look, close us out.
Is a hot dog a taco?
Yo, man, is a hot dog a taco? Nah.
You're whack.
Yo, did the Boston Globe not ask you hard-hitting questions like, is a hot dog a taco?
Nah, man, they're not hip, man. They're not hip like you guys are.
Yo, then the Boston Globe is whack, and they need Yanhel. Boston Globe, his name is Yanhel Toribio. He's in the 11th grade at Highlander. Is it 11th grade, Yanhel?
What happened?
11th grade?
I'm in 10th grade.
Boston Globe, Yanhel Toribio is in the 10th grade at Highlander Charter School. You need to hire him today, or else your questions are going to stay whack, stay stale, stay old. Mr. John Hope, thank you for being here. I want to, one, ask you if you have any shout outs before you go. Two, if you have any questions. And three, where can we follow you and learn more? What do you want to direct traffic? What should the world who's listening to this podcast, what should we go check out?
Man, you know, first, again, thank you all for having me. This has been really fun. You know, you could just connect with me on my website, johnhopepvd.com. That's johnhopepvd.com. That's, you know, I have all my music, my merch, my just all my contents there, you know. But yeah, man, you know, what I'd want to ask is, you know, how has the experience been, you know, being in Steambox and like, you know, what are some of, are there any projects that I should be aware of or things that, you know, coming up, you know?
These guys have just joined me only this year during the pandemic.
Okay.
I wish Billy was here. Like, the one student who I'm missing right now has previously been out and about with me. What was your favorite moment, students? Anybody can jump in. What was your favorite moment on this podcast besides, obviously, John Hope? John Hope is obviously your favorite moment on the podcast. Has anybody had a memorable moment on the podcast? I can think of one with Isaiah.
Nah, Mr. Roberto, you're a bully.
I'm a bully. They're not lying. I thought it was ill when Chachi came on and showed just all the love for Isaiah. And there's an actual connection too, because Chachi developed that studio that's happening in their school. So these guys are just starting out with us. And here's what they don't know. And John Hope and the world should know. This podcast belongs to these students. And I'm always asking them, what do they want to explore more? This podcast has made our own Ben & Jerry's ice cream at the Ben & Jerry's factory. This podcast has made a milkshake. Notice the theme. This is why I'm fat. Has made a milkshake at the Boston Burger Company that's still on their menu through this podcast, right? Wow. Of course, it has churros and shit in it because we're a whole bunch of Latinos and that's what we like, right? So this podcast has been to Studio Ghibli in Japan, right? This podcast, right before the pandemic, would have gone to Canada to study the difference in immigration culture and healthcare culture. So that's what this podcast alone has been up to. And outside of this podcast, Steambox is sending shit to space, making artificial intelligence, holding hackathons all the time that you will get invites to. But I know you missed the LA, man. So you're about to be out there. Anybody have anything to add to that? I know you've only been here for like weeks, some of you. Damn, I wish Billy was here because Billy could
talk. We're talking about food.
Any Arcade Expo. Go ahead, Sabio.
I said food.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and this podcast has also played me, Mr. John Hope. This podcast has also played me, and when I say, what do we want to learn more about, they say tacos. So I bring in a chef, and they interview a chef who makes them tacos, right?
Oh, man.
They smart. They yeah, learned how to play
smart.
Me.
They smart. They smart. I like it.
I'm going to ask you, too.
I have a question.
Who's that? Isaiah?
Yep.
Go ahead.
It was regarding Drake, because he said that he messed with Drake previously. So I want to ask on, like, you know, what level do you mess with Drake on?
Man, I mess with him. I like everything that he does. I think Drake is like Apple, you know, like he's everywhere. He can do everything. But when the type of time that I really rock with him is when he be on his like 5 a.m. in Toronto or 6 a.m. in Dallas, when he goes off the bar, you know, or Lord knows with Rick Ross, like when he be on that type of time, leave him alone, you know. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I rock with him when he's on that type of time.
Jada, jump in before we wrap up.
Okay, this is very important. Do you think that bologna is like a pancake, like, but of hot
dog? Yo, what?
No, is it
bologna a pancake?
Bologna is like a hot dog pancake.
Is bologna a hot dog pancake? Yo, whenever my students lead a question with, hold up, this is really important, or I have something serious to ask you, I know some bullshit's about to come
out. I don't know. I think I can see that. I can see it being a hot dog pancake. Yes, I'm going with that.
Final answer. All right, so we had local legend Chachi on the show recently, and he thinks everybody needs to drop at least 4 bars. Right. So I'm not going to make you do anything, but how would you respond to Chachi?
Oh, my gosh. man, I mean, let me see. I'll say, all right, here we go. From bougie to hood, I knew that it would touch fans. I'm the gas for the engine that could. I could brag, I could boast like most. I chose nada. The audacity of hope like Obama. I close my eyes and dream bigger than other guys to drive a cocoon with doors that go butterfly. Moon roof dropping, the ones we clocking. And every time it go down, the young beat jocking. You think you know, but you ain't got a clue. Grab a spoon, taste the feet. You ain't got a chew. That's it. That's all I got.
Yo, man, you were this close to doing a dab. I swear you were this close to doing a dab.
Just a little bit. Just that close. That close.
Obama was hard.
And Sabdiel's throwing, they throwing love in the chat. I know people worldwide cannot see this. Steambox students, please hang on for just 1 minute after I end this podcast. Mr. John Hope, on March 3rd, your album is dropping. What's the name of this album? Where should people go find it?
Man, Hope All Is Well. It's going to be on all streaming platforms, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. And you can get an autographed copy I'm off my site. It's going to be everywhere, man. I'm really excited for this. Hope All Is Well. It's a really personal album, personal project, but definitely something that the world can relate to.
John Hope, the world is listening somehow. I don't know why, because we're asking bullshit questions about bologna pancakes. Somehow, this podcast is number 2 in the world. It's number 2 in the world, so I know people are listening.
Yes.
And I know around the world, we are in a nasty apocalypse pandemic. If you want some hope in your life, on March 3rd, we are making a suggestion. Would you please consider John Hope's next classic album? You can find it where material is sold. Mr. John Hope, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. Thank you, everyone. Yo, this was fun. This was definitely interesting. It was fun. I had a good time.
Steambox students, if you could please unmute your microphones and give some energy and say peace out. And Jada, you know what to do. Go.
Peace out.
Bye.
Go eat a taco.
Go eat a taco.
That's what I'm going to do,
everybody.